Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go, hook him up!
Today. So, Craig, what's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. And what's going on, Katrera?
Not much. Just got back from Taco Bell.
What did you buy from Taco Bell?
Four words. Smothered burrito with steak.
I've actually had the one with chicken, and it's actually pretty damn good, surprisingly.
Yeah, I got me two of them.
Your steak, you should have gone for one each.
I like steak better.
Why wouldn't you?
What do you get to Taco Bell when you go, Craig? I know you go a lot.
Actually, I'm more of a Taco Time kind of guy myself. Taco Time.
Taco Time.
Yes, sir. Apparently,
it doesn't sound things. Like a franchise.
Oh, it is. It is here in Washington. It's amazing.
The owner was to watch Coming to America and got the idea from McDowell's.
From the what?
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Remember Coming
no
to
idea.
America?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you all seen the movie Coming to America?
Yeah, years ago.
Okay, well, the girl he was after, her dad owned a ripoff of McDonald's.
McDougal's or something, wasn't it?
Okay. I thought his name was McDowell or something. I spent a long time
McDowell's,
seeing
McDougal's.
Something. It looked like the Golden Arches, but it was just slightly different.
All I remember from that movie is Soul Glow.
That was pretty awesome.
The whole family had their head against the wall when they got up. There was, like, grease stains on the wall.
Yeah.
Can't get away with that nowadays.
I just noticed that was on Netflix the other day on Netflix. I might have to watch it again. It was a good movie.
That was pretty funny. But that's what Taco Time sounds like. That they just talk about they just...
Taco Time blows Taco Bell out of the water. It's amazing.
You live in Seattle, Craig. There's no way you can have good Mexican food no matter where you get it from.
Well, if you're looking for good and fast, Taco Bell or Taco Time is the place. So, there you go. You're going to have to trust me on this one when you come up next time.
Next time you come back to Texas, I'm going to take you to a Taco Cabana.
Okay. I'm down.
Cool, man. What time did you tell our guest we were calling, Craig?
I told him we were going to call him as soon as the show got off and running, and then we started talking about tacos. So,
oh.
I apologize. I was very overwhelmed by how great the Mother Burrito was.
So, yeah, why don't you give him a call then?
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting ready for you guys.
Yeah.
My computer's working a little slowly. All right, well, you guys talk amongst yourselves in a minute.
All right. Let's see if the static clears up once Ed goes away.
It's not me,
no,
it's Block Talk. Well, I'm batting the number, I haven't actually hit send it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gone.
Looking forward to the Steve Austin podcast this weekend.
I have four shows that I haven't listened to yet, and one of them, I just got done listening to part one of Ric Flair, which was absolutely tremendous.
Well, he's doing Jim Ross this weekend, so should be interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be great. Yeah, it's a shame. I don't know what they're thinking over there at the WWE.
That's so stupid.
Gosh.
I don't blame Ric Flair for that. That's just something, you know, he didn't know to do to get fired.
No, it just needed a scapegoat. Just like every other thing, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a shame. He's going to end up in TNA.
I would watch TNA more and pay more attention to it if he did.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine him and Trey in the same booth?
Craig, can you introduce our guest, please?
Sure thing. Our guest tonight is an ECW original and has worked in WCW and the WWF. He's a former two-time WCW Hardcore Champion, as well as a two-time WCW Tag Team Champion. But, of course, he is best known for looking absolutely fabulous in a skirt. Please welcome to the show, Big Vito Lagrasso.
How are you doing, guys? How's everything tonight? Thank you for your introduction, but usually when I do my interviews, I like to introduce myself. I'm a former ECW original, WCW former champion, a member of the NYC and TNA, and the toughest man ever wear a dress in the FBI and the WWE. Started out as a rookie in the WWF. I'm this fly Italian guy from SI. I am the owner and instructor of Big Vito's Wrestling Academy. And with all that said, who in the hell is The Rock? I'm the one, the only, Big Vito Lagrasso from Staten Island, New York, and I only do A movies while The Rock is doing the C scene. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, Vito.
I hope you guys are laughing with happiness because I'm on your show, not laughing at my promo, because you know how I do. Come on, fellas.
I know. We're professional. We're glad you're on the show. Craig, go ahead and start the interview.
Well, first off, we might as well get this out of the way. Where did you learn to work? Who trained you?
Okay, I was broken in the business by the unpredictable Johnny Rods, who's a WWE Hall of Famer. I started out in Gleason's Gym back in 1990 with one of the best classes that ever came out of Johnny Rods' school. We had Taz, Dreamer, Devon, myself, Hugh Morris, all became champions.
Well, now, Johnny Rods, were you a fan of his growing up?
I watched him on TV, and, you know, I don't think it was being a fan of anything because you really don't understand the wrestling business. But, you know, I watched him, I enjoyed him, you know, and, you know, it's like anything else. Once you get to understand the wrestling business, if you get to understand things, you know, you just become a general fan of the whole sport, like, you know, everybody else in the world today.
What did the school entail? What was what were the classes like? How long did it last? And how was he as an instructor? Was he hard? Was he easy to work with? Or what's your thoughts on the whole training in general?
My training with Johnny Ross, I was the last student to be trained with him one on one. Stress basics to me. Learn it from the bottom up. If you can't get up, you can't wrestle. And I trained 4 days a week, 4 and 5 hours a day, and I never quit, never tapped out, you know. And then once I got to be learning how to fight back the correct way, you know, I became a deadly weapon because I used to train with him one on one. So learning from him and wrestling him all the time only made me better. And then as a rookie in the WWF, I mean, I wrestled the Bret Harts, the Legion of Dooms, Coco Beware's, Typhoon, Tatanka, Undertaker, Boss Man, British Bulldog, all the greats in the sport. So I had a good tutelage and a good upbringing, you know, when I first started in the business.
Well, now how exactly did you get started with the WWE? Was it through the school or like was it a tryout or how did they get the attention? How did you get their attention for you to start your rookie career in the WWE?
Well, what happened was a wrestler by the name of Sonny Blaze was in charge of getting talent for the WWF. And he saw me wrestling. He knew I was one of Johnny's students. And he asked me if I wanted to go to the WWF. And I said, yeah, of course. My very first match was against Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, the Rockers. And, you know, I mean, I thought like, wow, you know, I was finally under the insignia. But that was just a long road and a lot of experience gained. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that Sonny, who I'm still friends with today after 20-something years, you know, is one of my best friends. And I'm glad that he gave me the chance, and I always thank him all the time, you know, because if it wasn't for him, you know, giving me a little taste of success back then, you know, I mean, who knows where I'd be today.
So, you know, you're just out of the school, and all of a sudden you're in the WWE, and you're wrestling against Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. What was going through your head at that first WWE match? I mean, that must have been, like, I can only imagine how incredible that must have felt for you.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, it's like you're in awe, you're under the WWF banner, you know, and it's like anything else. You're just in shock, you're in awe, you're happy to be there. So, I mean, you know, I think like it's a great accomplishment, but once you get there, you realize that it's not all, you know, fun and games and it's business. And because I was broken in by Johnny Ross, you know, and I upheld his upbringing, and I showed respect to those guys. I was the only rookie to be allowed in the dressing room to change. I was the only rookie who really got offense back then, and I was on WWF TV 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Right, Greg.
So you start off as a job guy in WWF, and you quickly catch the ear of Taz. What's your speech to him to get him to give you a good word to ECW?
Well, I mean, when I went to ECW, I had been, you know, I had been working for a while, doing it 8 years already. And I had been to Japan. I had been wrestling in Puerto Rico. I went to the USWA. I was in Santo Domingo. I mean, I've been all over, and I was just waiting for a break. And that's with having numerous tryouts in the WWE. And then when I went to, you know, I needed an attitude change. I needed to change things for myself. So, of course, you know, I went to Taz, and I asked him for a chance and spoke to him and Paulie. And they told me to come back. I said, Vito, we all know you can wrestle. We just, you know, we know your attitude needs a little adjusting. So I went back, and I did what they said. And it was probably the best move I ever made in my career because it took me to greater things.
Now, I remember you in ECW as one of the Baldies, but I know you wrestled before, like before you joined the Baldies, you were wrestling in ECW already under the name Skull. And I was wondering, I never actually saw you at that time, but what were your thoughts on your early start in ECW?
How to earn my keep, how to show these guys that I didn't have an attitude, that my attitude was I wanted to be the best. I wanted to compete and fight the best. And I wasn't, you know, and I wanted respect. And I earned that in ECW. And, you know, once the guys saw I was, you know, business and my attitude changed, I became one of the leaders in the locker room. And, you know, once Taz left and I believe the Dudleys have left, you know, I was next to leave and I went to, you know, WCW. And it was probably one of the greatest experiences I ever had in my life. I wouldn't change anything in the script that was written for me. And I appreciate all the stuff I learned and everything I went through because I earned it all.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you went to... Oh, go ahead, Kirk. I'm sorry.
I said, they often say that your gimmick is you turned up to 11. Were you kind of a tough kid growing up in New York?
Well, I was a tough guy. I grew up on the streets. I handled my business. You know, I did grow up in Staten Island, so... You know, I came from the projects, you know, so I had to be tough. And, you know, when you're living on the street and you're doing your thing and you're maintaining a living, you know, it's, you know, it just comes with it. But I was a basketball player, and I was good enough to get Division I scholarships. You know, I couldn't take them because my grades were bad. I played in Madison Square Garden in high school. I went to college, and I wound up trying out for the Olympic baseball team. Came back. I was going to play semi-pro football in Staten Island. And then I watched TV one day, and I said, you know what, I could do better than these guys. And then I went to Johnny Rod's school. So, I mean, I never had it easy. I always had to earn it. And being tough, you know, is sometimes tough is just not with your hands, but tough is just handling life. I've handled everything that is thrown my way. But, you know, thank God I was able to throw my hands, you know, because that saved me a bunch of times. So I guess it just makes you a well-rounded person.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Craig.
I was going to say, one of your first feuds was with the Gangstas. And how is New Jack? How is working with New Jack?
It was great because, you know what, you know, it was New Jack Balls and Axel, and, you know, those guys, you know, started the Baldies. Baldies said, you know, Vito, we don't have a spot for you as a single, but we'll put you with the, we'll make you the Baldies. And that's how that happened. And then working with those guys, I mean, they taught me hardcore. And, you know, you had to learn, and I was willing to learn. And, you know, it was a great experience. I mean, it was good because it got us a lot of notoriety. If that group would have stayed together, if I would have stayed in DCW, that group would have became more and gotten more notoriety as one of the baddest four-man teams in wrestling. But, you know, when I got the call to go to WCW, you know, I kind of left. You know, I left the guys, but, you know, at first I didn't want to leave, but Foley told me I had to go because this is what I've been working for. But I had a good wingman, and if I didn't have good wingmen, I wouldn't have been as good as what we portrayed. And if I always have good wingmen, whether I was in ECW, and I had Angel by my side, and I had, you know, Johnny the Bull in WCW, you know, I had the NYC, I had, you know, Disco, I had Johnny Swinger, Trinity, you know, I went to WWE, I had Nunzio, you know, and, you know, I always had good wingmen, and, you know, I was always the focus and the leader, but you're only as good as your team, and I had very good teammates, which is important. And they all trusted me, and I always took their back, and I never let them fail. Always made sure they were protected.
Now, speaking of Johnny the Bull, when he went to WCW, he was pretty new to wrestling, and I liked him. I was a big fan of Johnny the Bull. I thought he was very athletic, could do some crazy stuff. And there was one show where he did something like really crazy, and I think he kind of hurt himself pretty bad internally. And what were you thinking when he did that leg drop to the floor?
I always protected Johnny, and I always told him, you know, don't do these crazy things, and don't do, you know, things. I always, you know, do your strong points. But he wanted to come on his own, and he wanted to do his thing, and I told him before, I said, you don't need to do, you know, some of those moves, but you live and learn. He did it. He's probably one of my best friends in the whole world. You know, we talk, we're together. I know if I called him on the drop of the dime, he would come and help me. And if he called me to drop the dime, I would call and help him. I would go and help him. And I always took care of him, and I love him like a brother. He's my boy. And it was always good, and even when we get back together once in a while, you know, it's good to walk out there to that music, because that music is still my theme song today, and I always walk proud to that music.
What is Johnny the Bull up to? Does he still wrestle, or has he moved on?
He's still wrestling here and there. He's got a very good job in Chase Manhattan Bank, and you know, if he gets the right deal, you know, and does the right thing, you know, everything is cool. But, you know, it's like anything else in guys. You guys got to move. Everybody moves on in life, you know. And I've been doing it 23 years. I've been able to hang on. So, I mean, you know, eventually, you know, I'll have to take that step, you know. But right now with the Wrestling Academy and still doing movies and still actively wrestling, you know, I'm still making my way. You know, but one day, you know, doing the Wrestling Academy, it was a change of pace. And You know, it's like for a pro athlete, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're the best at what you do, when you're still in shape and you can still go and still do things, You know, sometimes it's reality saying, hey, you gotta move with the times, you know. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to admit it, but maybe, you know, your time is not as prominent as it once was. And even though I'm still in great shape and I'm better than 75, if not 80% of the wrestlers out there today, you know, I got to, you know, face reality sometimes. That's probably one of the hardest things to do as a pro athlete and as a man. But I was able to pull it off, and, you know, when I opened my academy, it was very emotional because, you know, I know I'm still one of the best, and there's nobody who ever gave me a run for my money and a test that I couldn't accomplish. And that's what I want to do with my academy is teach these guys the heart and determination that you can overcome everything. So, I mean, he did that. He had the WWE, he had WCW, he had Japan, you know, and he thought in his heart, you know, hey, you know, I got into something else. Same thing with Nunzio, same thing with all the rest of the guys, you know. I'm the last of the dying breed. I'm still doing this for a living.
Now, when you went to WCW, I believe Vince Russo was in charge at the time. And Vince has his fans and he has his detractors. What are your thoughts on Vince Russo? I mean, he did give you guys a pretty good push. And I really love, like, the... like watching you and Johnny and the disco and then and stuff. I thought you guys were like really, really good. I enjoyed it. Like, what were your thoughts on Russo and the push he gave you guys?
Well, I don't think as much as the push he gave us, but the ideas he had that worked. And in WCW, you know, there was a lot of hands in the pot, a lot of chiefs and New Indians. And he was doing his thing, and, you know, people didn't like because he wasn't old school wrestling, you know. But you know what? It worked. It was good. You know, if people, you know, had to change, you know, everything has to change. We had like 5 or 6, you know, changes in that time. If they would have just left him alone and let him do his thing, WCW would still be open today.
And
everybody misses WCW. 6:05 Saturday nights, you know, Monday and then Monday night nitros. And when you've been on the Bash to the Beach, the Great American Bash, you've been on Starcade, you've been on all the pay-per-views, and I've been on all of them. There's nothing like being part of wrestling history and being able to be remembered as one of the guys there, the main guys. I mean, that's a big feather in your cap. And I was there during the Nitro Wars, and I'm very proud of my accomplishments there.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling was a big time at the time. I mean, both shows were getting awesome ratings, and it was nice having an alternative. I know TNA is there, but TNA, you really can't compare TNA to WCW. But yeah, it's too bad that they're not there anymore. Just for the fact that that's, you know, it'd be more jobs for more guys. Yeah, but I one of the things I really wanted to ask you about, because I heard the story where you went to Japan. And you were in like one of their big battle royals, and you eliminated probably the top guy there, Misawa. And I gotta imagine that must have been a pretty I don't know if you realized at the time, but that's a pretty big deal. What were your thoughts on that match and working with the late Misawa?
Well, when I went to Japan, I wanted to prove I was the best. I went into an All Japan Battle Royal. You know, and I said, I'm going to eliminate one guy. The guy who I eliminated was a guy with green tights on. He was laughing at me across the ring, joking around. I attacked him. I pinned him. The place went nuts. And I didn't know who it was until, you know, after the fact. The guy hadn't been pinned in 5 years. He was a triple crown winner. He was the best in the world. Didn't matter to me. He was just a man. And I took it to him. So, I mean, afterwards, the props I got for doing that, hey, it's, you know, it's worldwide knowledge. You know, Big Vito LaGrasso from Staten Island, New York, took out the great Misawa. And he was one of the best wrestlers of all time. And, you know, when you get to accomplish something like that, you know, it's probably a great thing. But the most prestigious, probably the most prestigious night of my career was when I beat Terry Funk on Nitro for the Hardcore title in the middle. And he handed me the belt. And it's probably the most distinguished night of my life. And, you know, I wouldn't trade that for anything because that was my coming out party. That was like, hey, Vito, you came, you arrived, you know, congratulations. You know, and you take this and run with it. So, and that's what I did.
Now, Terry Funk's been known to have a lot of, like, inspirational, like, speeches and stuff. Did he have any words for you before or after the match?
Nope. We just went at it like two men, and we fought. And he hit me, I hit him. It was no, you know, was no talking. It was no nothing. It was business. And now it's my time to step up. And for all the teachings and all the people who trained me and everything, everything came out of me, you know, at that time. You know, and when it was my time to take over, you know, I just felt at the right moment, okay, now let's get it on, you know. And I can't complain. I had a great match. People say that was probably my best match of my career, you know. And I, you know, I say I don't know or whatever, but, you know, my brother's my biggest fan. He tells me that's your favorite. His favorite match of all time is, you know, and I watched the finish of that match, and, you know, I get emotional, and that's like a very proud thing. You know, nobody beats Terry Funk. Nobody beats Terry Funk for the title. Nobody's ever beat Terry Funk on Nitro.
Yeah, Terry's awesome. go ahead, Craig.
So you were in WCW, and you were there till the very bitter end. Before Vince bought him. What's the feeling when you know that your company's been bought out by another corporation? What are you thinking? Are you hoping that they'll pick you up, or are you going to wait out your time? What's going through your head?
Nobody wanted to lose their job, and I wanted my contract to be picked up. But, you know, it was my contract with my career, and when it wasn't picked up, you know, I was upset. But you know what? How to make the best of it. And it was onward and forward, you know. And, you know, at that time, it was a business decision. A lot of people didn't understand it, but, you know, but I handled it well, and I don't have nothing bad to say about that time.
When did you actually know that the sale went through? Because if I'm not mistaken, it was announced to a lot of the wrestlers and people who worked there that Eric Bischoff was actually in another company, I believe Fusion, were going to. They announced that they were buying WCW, and I don't know what happened. Something fell through. WWE took it, and a lot of the guys didn't know that this happened until they showed up. Shane and a few of the other guys were there. I mean, did you know beforehand, or did you find out that night?
Found out that night, and, you know, Peter, it's okay with you guys. You know, like what happened. There's a lot of inside stuff that people don't need to know about. And, you know, I guess that for the people involved, they know what they did. They know how it went down. And I know the whole story. So we'll just keep it at that Vince bought the company. It was a clean deal. Everybody went home happy or unhappy. And let's just leave it at that.
Now, when you finally did go back to WWF, how did that come about? Did you contact them? They contacted you?
Well, I was in TNA. I was doing some stuff there. They had called me, and then they brought me in for a few tryouts, and then I finally got the call. And when I got the call, that was the biggest phone call of my life because I got to live my dream. It didn't matter what I did in WWE. I got to live my dream, and I got to be a WWE superstar. And that's what I wanted from day one. So I got no complaints. Whether I wore the dress, I didn't wear the dress. I was Nunzio's partner, and we had a great tag team. We represented the FBI. I got nothing but love, you know, for my time there. You know, I did a lot of great things. I became more famous than what I was. You know, and I was the most recognizable pro athlete in all sports for a year. I can't take that. I closed in Playboy magazine. You know, I did, you know, some great things. I met a lot of great people. I had a lot of good times, and there's no ill feelings. And people always say, you know, are you upset? I said, well, I have to be upset about it. I live my dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you've worked for basically every major company. You like I say, you've been on every major wrestling show. I mean, you know, that's quite an accomplishment. There's a lot of wrestlers that don't get that far. I mean, you know, I was a big fan of you in WWE, and I always got a kick out of when you did wear the dress. I thought that was, you know, pretty funny. But I always thought you really turned it up in the ring. You're doing really good. And well, I mean, what were your thoughts on everything in the WWE as far as like? How did the dress thing come about?
Well, they had an idea, and they used to tell me, you know, you're really tough and you're mean and nasty when you fight, like Adrian Adonis. but you're a really handsome man. He says, would you mind wearing a dress? I said, no. And I said, would you do it every day? I said, yes. So and I went to work one day, I showed up, and then that was it. I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you didn't have to go dress shopping?
I did everything. I learned how to live a different lifestyle, and I learned how to be somebody different, but it was a great experience to learn about your inner person.
Yeah.
And learn about myself.
Uh-huh. And how did the Playgirl thing come about? Was that through the WWE, or did they contact you, or how did that all come?
That was all done through WWE.
Really?
When you're a beautiful guy wearing a dress, everybody wants to take a picture.
Right.
So I would imagine you and Shawn Michaels, I think, are probably the only wrestlers that I know of that have done it. I mean, that's you're in there with some good company.
I've been there with some good company, and if you look at the line of celebrities who post Playgirl who are really big in the industry, I think Brad Pitt, Sylvester Stallone, Big Vito, Sinatra, Dean Martin, Shawn Michaels, I mean, you know, Pesci, you know, the guys, just the guys hanging around. Yeah.
Sorry, Craig.
So I was going to say, how did this working agreement between you and Gabe come about? You're kind of training some of his up-and-comers, right?
I'm the developmental center and training facility for Gabe at Dragon Gate Shine, Evolve, and FIP. I had spoken with a gentleman by the name of Sal, his partner, and we came up with something really unique and something good. I have the credentials to train and make better all the wrestlers out there today. They were lacking a training and developmental system, and who better than myself to train all the young guys to get to the next level and better their craft. You can't buy the experience from anywhere. You know, if I'm teaching you, everybody knows in wrestling business, I'm a straight shooter. I'm going to train you hard. You're going to train with Vito's intensity. There's no fear, no quit. And you're going to learn my determination. And you want to make it, you're going to learn the right way. And these guys have the trust in me to portray that. And it's a good working agreement. I'm very happy about it. And it's just a kudos to both companies, because Big Vito's Wrestling Academy gets a little rub. And Gabe and Sal get a rub with all their companies. So it's a good mix.
Mm-hmm. So what's a class like working with Vito? I mean, you have like a beginner class and then an intermediate class.
I have a bunch of beginners, and I'm getting experienced wrestlers. Right now I train you how to be a pro athlete. What we do is we work on your body, work on your conditioning. And anybody who walks up the street, they're not ready to go be a pro wrestler. I got to train you how to be a pro athlete. I got to make your body hard. I got to change the way you look. When you walk in, you're going to look one way. When you walk out, you're going to look another way. Not everybody makes it in wrestling, but you're going to learn how to be a man, how to take care of yourself, how to be a businessman. You know, and you're going to learn, if you're living with your mom, you're going to learn how to, you know, wipe your bottom. I have two young boys who are in my school who are 12 years old. You know, they have a little bit of rough time. The parents came to me and said, Bill, can you help my child? And these two young boys are doing great, and they're learning discipline. They're learning how to hit the bags. They're learning how to take care of themselves. And the attitude adjustment in these two young men is phenomenal. And I had one of my new students watch one of my young students, and I said, did you see what he did? Did you see the discipline? Did you see the attitude? I said, he's 12 years old, didn't cry, and I pushed him. You know, excellent job. You're doing good. That's the way to go. Encouragement. You know, when they do something good, you praise them. Even if they do something bad, you still praise them. They come there to get out their frustrations. And when you get taken out your frustrations on your workout, that's the best retaliation you can get. It makes you feel better.
You're talking like a big brother kind of thing then here.
Well, a lot of people around the world look up to me. A lot of people, you know, I'm their idol. I'm their, you know, they envy me. They want to be like me. And you know what? I appreciate that a lot. And that says a lot about me as a person. because when you have fans who, you know, who want to just be in the same room, they want to touch you, they want to talk to you, they want to do everything, I mean, it's a lot of responsibility, and you have to upkeep that at all times. Good day, bad day, crappy day. Thank you very much for being a fan. I greatly appreciate it. Can I sign anything for you? I'll do anything I can. I talk to people on Facebook, on Twitter. I talk to on LinkedIn. I talk to people all around the world all the time. I don't shun nobody, and I'm always courteous to everyone that comes to my path.
Now you mentioned how not everyone makes it. We've had, you know, a bunch of guests who have schools or train people like Van Storm and Antonio Thomas, Buddy Wayne, the Stature, and they tell stories, or they always talk about, you know, every once in a while you get a knucklehead that has no idea that wants to come in and learn how to be John Cena. I would imagine you would get that every once in a while, where you have someone who's not prepared and determined that some of your guys, and they just want to be an instant superstar once they walk through the wrestling school.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, everybody has a dream. Am I the one to deny you and tell you you can't do something? I'm the one there to tell you you can do it. Because anybody who's going to deny you your chance to do a dream, they're not being fair with you. You want to come to my academy, you want to, you know, learn the craft, you want to live your dream, I will show you the way. Everybody has a chance to make it. Do you make it? No. Can you make it? Yes. It all depends upon you. I am going to train you with the intensity that I wrestled, the way I trained. I am going to show you how it's done. If you can hang with me and you gain my respect by doing what I'm doing, you got a chance. I will walk you to the door. I will come with you on your tryout. I will bark orders from the ringside because you're my boy. I trained you. You're like my son. You know, my firstborn. You go into your first tryout, I'm going to be there right by your side. If you fail, you still won because you got a tryout. If you do good, hey, we both win. You know what I mean? It's great. If you're any young wrestler out there who wants to live their dream, you come to my wrestling academy. It's in Clearwater, and you go to Big Vito at BigVito.com. Go to the website at Big Vito's Wrestling Academy. You email me. If you have any questions, you talk to me. Everybody can do it. It's a matter of if you want to do it, if you have the heart. I was never the biggest. I was the best. I didn't have the best body, but I had heart and determination. I fought through and kicked in every door I saw in my life. So, I mean, that was the thing I always, you know, learned and thought. I can't really say enough. I mean, you know, if you could learn like me and train like me, and when people used to walk in any dressing room in the world, and they saw their name on the board, and if they saw Vito's name right beside it, they said, oh, my God. You know, and that's respect. And that's what I wanted from day one. It wasn't about being a millionaire. And it's something that you can't trade. I'll take respect from every single wrestler in the world. I don't need $1 million. I have $1 million. I can make money anytime. I can survive in this world. But respect you can't buy, you know, and that kind of stuff from your peers, you can't acknowledge in any way. It's just, you know, you want to be somebody, you know, and you want that respect, you got to earn it. And I earned every single bit of it. And that's from the guys who led me to my path and the guys who are training underneath me and the guys that helped in the business. They respect me because of the way I carry myself. I eat like a pro. I train like a pro. I dress like a pro. I act like a pro. It didn't come overnight. It came with a lot of hard work.
Sounds like your students have a really good guy in their corner. I mean, that's really impressive. I mean, there's some wrestling schools that aren't like that. I mean, that's, you know, I'm big shout out to you for that. I mean, I wanted to ask you a question. I'm getting this from Wikipedia, so this could be wrong, but it said that you were involved in a riot in Nepal, and I was wondering if I could get that story.
Well, I went to Nepal back in, I think, 2010, my first trip, and they never had pro wrestling there. And what happened was, you know, I was new to the country. You know, I was welcome there, but I went there as the bad guy, and they don't understand wrestling. I went there, and, you know, I knocked their champion out, and I hit him with a right hand, and he's being a little rough, and he didn't want to play the right way. So I don't fear nobody. I don't sweat nobody. I don't care if I'm standing there by myself, which pretty much I was. You know, I hit him with a right hand. He fell like a sack of, you know, potatoes. And all of a sudden these people started throwing chairs and they started attacking me, and I was on my feet defending myself, and I saw the referee was, you know, on the floor shaking, so I covered the referee with my body. You know, people were taking swipes at me with the plastic chairs, and, you know, I cut my back open, and then they, you know, I got calls from home saying, listen, you need to go home, you need to get out of here, it's a national incident. I said, I ain't leaving until I fight this guy again. When I went there and I walked in the middle of 15,000 people, and, you know, I was like, well, I got through 5,000. I said, I ain't getting through 15, so I think I better pull it back a little bit. But I still had National Guard, I had the Army, I had an entrance, I had everybody there to defend me. But you know what? You know, when I went back the following year, I beat him in the middle in front of 20,000 people, and you never heard a pin drop when I walked out of there with the title. The embassy invited me down. They gave me a presidential salute, and that was probably one of a great accomplishment because I went back. And when you do something like that, I mean, that shows a lot in yourself.
Yeah, that must have been a scary situation. But we're going to go ahead. You've been with us for quite a bit, so we're going to go ahead and start to wrap up. I'd like to get, like, one last question each, and my last question would be, going back to Japan, you came with Tenryu, who was also another legend in Japan, and what was it like working for Tenryu? I know he's very respected in Japan.
When I tagged with Tenryu, he was the Hulk Hogan of Japan, and being able to have a tag team partner like that in your life, I mean, that's a great moment also. I mean, you get the best. I mean, if you tag with Hogan in America, you know, hey, great. If you tag with Tenryu in Japan, hey, you know, you accomplished something. You know, my picture's up in Ribera. I got about 5 or 6 of them. You know, and I'm very proud of that accomplishment. You know, and you don't get your picture up in Ribera if you're just being a nobody. You got to be a somebody. And you get to be a somebody over there because they respect you. And I gained that from him. And I gained up more of the Japanese people, and I appreciate Mr. Tenryu, you know, taking me on as a tag team partner and having me, you know, take his back, and he had mine. So it's a great thing.
Cool. Okay.
I'll use my last question and plug Big Vito's school, Big Vito's Wrestling Academy. Check him out at www.bigvito.com. He's got his phone number on his Facebook page. You can friend him there and check him out there. And it says, now offering kickboxing and sparring for if you need to train some MMA. So look up Big Vito on the World Wide Web. He's all over Twitter and Facebook. And looks like he's even got an Instagram here. So, Vito, I want to thank you very much for spending so much time with us. You are a man among men. And even
thank
if
you very much. Thank you very much for having me on the show, and to all the fans out there, I want to thank you for listening. You know, and there's a $500 voucher on there for beginners and advanced wrestlers. Go to the website, print it out, come down and see me. You guys have a great show. I greatly appreciate being on tonight, and thank you again for having me.
Thank you so much. Vito. You have a really, really good night now.
Now I am going to have a very good night. I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
There he goes, everyone. Big Vito.
Yeah, that went pretty well. He sounds like a really stand-up guy, you know what I mean? You know, if he goes all out like that for, like, the students, you know, I mean, that's a good thing. There's so many schools where basically you give them their money, and then they teach you how to take a back bump, and then they send you on your way, you know? I mean, and I didn't know that stuff about Gabe. That's actually pretty cool, you know? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, that's pretty new, actually. They recently acquired his services, I guess you could say, and he's training their guys. Hopefully we see him down at Mania next year.
Oh, yeah, which they did. Well, before we get to that, let's welcome our other callers back to the line. Trey, are you back?
Yes.
Okay,
how are your tacos?
Yeah, they announced the other shows with WrestleMania. And basically,
I'll find them.
Basically, it's ROH Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm looking.
Keep talking.
No, I was going to say, how do you think that show that's going head-to-head with WrestleMania is going to do?
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's going to be a bunch of wrestling fans there, but
yeah.
Like 99% of them are going to be at WrestleMania. I mean, that could be kind of bad.
There are guys that go down for WrestleMania festivities but don't actually step foot into Mania, but I'm thinking it's not, you know, more than a couple hundred that are going to pop for, I don't know. So here's the lineup from Gabe. On Thursday, April 4th, 8 p.m. is Evolve. Friday, April 5th at 3 p.m., it's a Wrestling Odyssey. Friday at 8 is Dragon Gate USA. Friday at midnight is Kaju Big Battle, which that would be amazing. And Saturday, April 6th, 3 p.m., Shimmer. And 9 p.m., Dragon Gate USA.
Well, isn't Shimmer on Sunday, Frank?
No, it's on Saturday at 3 p.m. This is from Gabe. Well, it's from his site, anyway.
Uh-huh. For some reason, I had thought it was on Saturday, because the ROH show's okay. Hold on. It says 4-5. What day is 4-5? That's Saturday, right? No, wait. Right? The show takes place Friday night, 4-4 at 7:30, 4-5 at 2 p.m.
2 p.m. That's before the Hall of Fame. Uh-huh. Which is what they do every year.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, there's your events. I'm sure that there's going to be. Gosh, I wouldn't even think that TNA would try running again. But who knows?
Okay. Well, see, it says 4-6 Shimmer at 3 p.m.
I'm telling you, April 6th, Saturday, April 6th at 3 p.m. is Shimmer.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Something's getting me confused here. I don't know if it's just I'm looking with Potter there or I'm seeing something wrong.
Will the Shimmer show be in jeopardy due to the breast implant law?
Holy shit, I didn't even think about that. But actually, it's not going to be that bad because there's not really that many girls that actually do have breast implants that are in Shimmer. There are a few, though.
Yes, there
the
are.
The stupidest thing. God almighty.
I'll tell
you. Yeah, that is one of the most absurd things that I've ever heard of. They're banning women with breast implants from wrestling, boxing, and MMA.
Mm-hmm. WWE probably just pay the fines. Just say, well, we're going to do it anyway. Just pay a fine.
Oh, yeah.
They're just going to pay some money under the table. It's New Orleans, of all places. I mean,
that's what they
on.
Did. You remember when they had that, they had like a, wasn't it like a Vince against Stephanie match in like Baltimore, and they had to rule against men against women in matches or something like that? And they just pay a fine for it instead of not doing it or something like that.
They've gotten off so easy by paying off fines. I mean, when they were here in Portland, you know, they wouldn't allow blading and years ago, and you just pay the fine or you fake it. Oh, it was the hard way. You know, people, you just get through it.
Okay, and this is why I'm confused, because ROH says the shows will take place Friday night 4-4 and Saturday 4-5. Now,
I think this is just a calendar issue, Ed.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of getting pissed because I wanted to see Shimmer, but if it's going head-to-head with ROH, you know, I might have to make a big decision because I really want to see Shimmer. It was such an awesome show last year. Hopefully we'll figure it out soon.
Okay.
Hopefully Big Dave will have this all cleaned out pretty soon.
I don't know who's wrong, but April, Friday is the 4th, Saturday is the 5th, and Sunday is the 6th. So I think Dave's got one of the dates wrong.
Okay. Well, Well, somebody screwed up and it's screwing me up. But yeah.
Well, actually, no. I think Gabe's got the dates wrong. Actually, now that I look at it,
uh-huh.
So it's a 3 p.m. shimmer show. Anyway, we've got months to figure this out, so let's not dwell on it tonight.
Are you going to Mania this year, by the way, or next year?
Yeah, I'm going. I'm taking the family, and my 7-year-old son, who will be almost 8, is going to experience a WrestleMania live.
That'll be cool. And I'm sure Clary's taking his kid. I think he's taking his kid the last 2 times.
He's not taking him this year.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Hmm. I guess he's mentioned your name before. But, according to Rodney, everything is, like, easy to get to no matter where you're going. So
that's good.
So, anyway, so I'm excited about that. I mean, hopefully. I don't like how the tickets go on sale so early, though. You know what I mean? It's like you're going to get a chance to prepare. It's just all of a sudden, they're all on sale. There you go.
Yeah. I think ROH tickets go on sale like next weekend or something.
Yeah. So we just kind of need to figure out who's going and who's sitting with who. And I know your buddy's going to be cheap and try and get a freebie.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? So there's a pay-per-view on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Excited for it?
There's a couple pay-per-views.
Yeah.
It's actually probably like the biggest boxing match of the past few years is probably going to be on this weekend.
That is true.
And I hear all these people saying that if the Mexican wins, that he'll be like the next, you know, hero to the Mexican people. And I know the Mexicans are very, because I'm Mexican, that they're very, they like their Mexican heroes, but I don't think this guy, even if he beats Mayweather, is going to be, like, a big Mexican hero because he doesn't even look Mexican. He's a fucking ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mexicans are going to look at him and say, who's this fucking gringo trying to be Mexican?
Well, they say the same thing to Brian Alvarez.
Well, I'll give Canelo this. He's actually way more Mexican than Brian Alvarez. Brian is pretty white. He is a pretty white Mexican. Yeah. But I guess we could go ahead and talk about the pay-per-view I guess you guys meant, and that's the Night of the Champions.
Night of Champions is this weekend, and I am looking for a lineup, and I have one here. So, there's only 5 matches announced so far?
Yeah, because, you know, they're going to do the tag team, like, gauntlet or whatever on the pre-show.
Okay, so, yeah. So the pre-show is Primetime Players versus the Usos versus Tons of Funk versus the Real Americans versus 3MB, and this is for a number one contender to the tag team title, and whoever wins this match will wrestle the Shield on the main show. Probably as the
player. I'm picking Primetime Players.
Yeah, that's the only one that makes sense. I mean, in a perfect world, the Real Americans would go over and they would have an awesome match with the Shield.
Yeah.
But
that swing on Monday, that was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good stuff. And then,
that might be the safest thing that's ever got a holy shit chant for.
Well, if you like that one, go to YouTube and just type in Claudio and see where he got 100 revolutions around in the ring. It was phenomenal.
I like the best part when he almost lost it around 90 something.
Yeah, he stumbled at like 98 or something. Yeah. It was like, and then he regained his composure and then took it. I think it was actually probably around 102. But the fans are just losing their minds. That's going to get huge.
Strong, but some guys are just like that. They don't look that strong, but they are.
he's a freak.
He is a freak. I mean, he's got, like, he's done so many things that are just, like, almost inhuman. Like, he's like a freaking robot or something, you know. Without even struggling, he'll, like, do something that's like, how the hell did he even lift a guy up, let alone fucking turn it into, like, a slam? You know what I mean? It's like, he's got that, excuse me for being very politically incorrect.
I know.
It's like he's got that retard strength, you know what I mean?
Yes.
No one say that I call Claudio a retard. I'm not. He's an awesome dude. I'm just saying that's the only way I could describe how strong he is. He's like farm strong.
He's not
strong,
a retard.
Like farm boy strong. Like, you know.
Yeah. Trains like rock. Yeah.
It's like when Kofi will come off the top rope like with a body press and he'll just catch him like he's in the salto suplex position and just muscle him up. That's awesome.
Yeah, he does that. He does that side suplex gimmick, and he just—it's like dead weight. He just picks him up and carries him around the ring for a minute, and then tosses him. He's phenomenal. And the crazy thing is, you know, I've met the guy, and I'm looking eye to eye with him. And I'm not saying I'm a huge guy. I'm saying that he looks so massive on TV in his boots and, you know, oiled up and whatnot. He's not that big of a dude, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but hopefully this will help get him over. Because, I mean, you know, he could use all the... It's like they know he's great, but they just, for some reason, they're not fully convinced. So hopefully this will...
Yeah.
You know.
He's in that spot to go out there and have kick-ass matches all the time.
Yep. And he does.
Yeah.
And he does. So that's the match that's going to start off the show and then the one that will lead to the show. But then we have the Divas Championship, AJ Lee versus Natalya versus Brie Bella versus Naomi in a fatal four-way match.
And it'll be 4 stars at least.
And the losers are going to be everyone watching at home because they're actually going to wish for fatalities upon themselves in viewing this. It's going to be no good.
Sorry, I had to go to the CMLL site or whatever to watch the news show. So if you heard some Mexican,
I was hearing a bunch of Spanish.
Hey, Katrina, that reminds me. Katrina, go to, I don't know if you're in charge of the board, but go to the Facebook page, and I messaged you and Ed. There is a new song out. Actually, it might not even be new, but I was alerted to this by Mr. Brian Alvarez today, and there is a Master P. No, wait. It is Rick Ross. It's called About That Life. It's featuring P. Diddy, Meek Mill, and French Montana. And anyway, if you could play the first few, 40, 50 seconds of this song, I think everybody will get a kick out of it. I think you'll recognize the voice.
Is this a real song?
Play it.
It's a real song.
I can't play stuff on my phone.
Oh, you're on your phone?
Ed?
Ed,
do you know?
I'm on my computer. Just give me 1 second, and I'll see if I can play.
Yeah.
I kind of turned down.
Yeah. Brian messaged me today, and I'm like, "Why in the world is Brian Alvarez sending me a hip hop video online?" Because, you know, Brian doesn't like music. Just being honest.
He doesn't like music.
No, it's obvious to me that he just doesn't enjoy good music. You know. You know, there's some guys that like music, and then there's, you know, Brian Alvarez.
I mean, I'm more like Brian. And...
The rubber, square, diamond race, and champion.
I don't know if you guys can hear
that. Video game symposium?
No, I don't know what that was from. I think it was from the...
sound like an interview from like the Crockett Show in the 80s or something.
Yeah. The line that's on the front of that song that sounds... It's just amazing. I have spilt more liquor than most of you have purchased in your lifetime.
Well, that's undoubtedly true. That's a shoot.
Oh, I was dying. Anyway, back to the pay-per-view.
I think just out of spite, AJ Lee, she wins this match to get the date of the match tattooed on her neck just to spite Dave Meltzer. That was the most ridiculous thing I heard ever heard of the other night. Gosh. It went on and on about that. God, it was irritating.
Uh-huh.
I don't even think it's that big of a deal. It's a big deal to her, and that's fine.
Dude, right. there's wrestlers who have tattoos with the number like 300 and something, 400 and something, because they tattoo their place in the PWI top 500.
Okay, that's too
so
far.
So her putting, you know, a world title is nothing compared to that. I mean, and it's not like she's a model that just got into wrestling. You know what I mean? She's a lifelong fan. I mean,
I saw the picture on the internet the other day of her, like, in tears at a Lita contract signing when she was, like, 12.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But even
plus, it made me feel bad because it made me feel fucking old. Jesus Christ.
All right, so getting back to the preview, we have Alberto Del Rio.
Also, we should say the women's match is going up against the mid-season finale of Total Divas, which I'm very sad about.
Yes, that is very true.
Well, that's why there's a DVR, and you can watch both of them. But hold on, you're going to gloss over how she just owned Jerry Lawler on commentary?
That was awesome. Yes. Watch the product. Poor Jerry Lawler, but he had to wear a regular shirt. He had to wear a regular shirt on Monday, and then he got put down by a woman.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad because I was going to miss the Divas show. I was saying it's the mid-season finale, so this will be the last one for a while.
Yeah, I know. Get away.
Yeah, till next time.
Hopefully he kicked the shit out of that dude.
I've actually only seen the two. I saw the first one, and then Brian and Vinny convinced me to watch the... He convinced me to watch the one last week, and... the week before last, the bachelorette party.
Oh, the Vegas?
Yes. Anyway, the next matchup on Night of Champions, Alberto Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam.
I predict Ricardo turns, goes back to Alberto.
So soon, huh? Yeah, I could probably see that too.
I don't know. It's just not clicking for me as him and Rob Van Dam. I mean, maybe they both came out smoking joints or something. But.
What's that damn shirt he comes out in? He looks like he just went by the souvenir stand and bought it.
Right.
Ugly as hell, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Was it Vinny's idea where he should get, you know, the tuxedo and have somebody airbrush it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal
that'd be a good
idea.
That would work. But you know what I mean.
Mhm. It doesn't feel right. Nor does it look right. So.
I am confident we'll have a more better match with Alberto than he had on Monday with Ryback. That was terrible.
My God. I predict that in this match, at some point, Rob Van Dam is going to throw a kick, and it's going to hit Alberto, and Alberto is going to whip the snot out of that man.
We're going to see what he did to Sin Cara when he dislocated his pinky finger, whatever he did.
I can't wait to see it because ADR does not put up with crap. And I want to beat the crap out of Van Dam.
Well,
we
put
up with something because he got his ass beat in a bar a while back.
Yeah, he's still bitter.
Yeah, but I mean, he's used to being kicked really hard. Don't you remember when Hulk got fucking kicked him like in 5 seconds in their fight, and when he was wearing his little half mask in Pride?
Yeah,
I missed that one.
That was something to see. Pride was Pride had some weird shit back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had him in a mask. They had on there the very first Pride fight I ever saw was Sammy Schultz. It was like 7-something against some little short, fat Japanese guy who had to be about 5'4", who was about the height of Sammy Schultz's knee. And basically saw Sammy Schultz kill this guy with knees because he didn't have to go very far. And it was like, I was watching it like, this is a sport? This is like fucking gladiator times or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's all look forward to a beating in this match. And second from the top, we got CM Punk versus Curtis Axel, who is the Intercontinental Champion, and he's going to have Paul Heyman as his tag team partner. And it's a handicap elimination match, so we will see Curtis. You're doing it again. We will see Curtis getting pinned, and CM Punk laying a biblical beatdown on Mr. Paul Heyman.
That's what he guaranteed on Monday. To the point, I'm thinking it ain't happening.
It's always gonna happen.
Dude, this is what's gonna happen. He's gonna pin Curtis Axel. Everyone's gonna get ready for him to get his hands on Paul Heyman, and then the music's gonna hit, and freaking Mason Ryan and Ezekiel Jackson are gonna come down and kick Punk's ass and save Paul Heyman.
Well, I'm glad you booked this for them. No, I'm not. Sounds like a horrible idea.
And if it wasn't a pay show, the people would change the channel.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Super Porky just got in the ring. This just went from awesome to even more awesome.
Are we interrupting your time here?
No, I can multitask.
No, you can't. Actually,
I can.
You get distracted by... Yeah. You're a stoner. You don't focus on anything.
I'm focusing on a 500-pound, 4-foot man taking bumps.
And in the main event, we have WWE Champion Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. And I'm afraid that Randy Orton's going to win.
I don't know if he's going to win, but I don't think Bryan's coming out with the title. At least not
That's
yet.
That's the finish.
I think it's way too soon.
No, they can't use that. They fired Dusty. Triple H fired him last night.
Yeah, but they can still do the angle. I mean, he'll win, and somehow it'll get reversed. And he won't win, but he'll be standing tall at the end. That's how I figure they get out of this one. And then for the next, because there's the next other pay-per-view before Hell in a Cell, that one they should do some kind of, like, maybe instead of doing another singles match like Brian and Dave keep saying that they do and beat Brian twice, no, you do a team. You do like a War Games type thing. You know, you put Brian and Big Show and whoever else standing against the Shield and Randy, and you have them do that match, and then that leads to the big Hell in the Cell match where Brian should win big.
I'd rather say the same thing as Survivor Series. I think that'd fit better.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good idea, actually.
Like maybe have, I don't know, Orton, have Triple H. Shield together on one side and like have maybe Brian, Punk, I don't know, Big Show, Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Ziggler, do you guys know what he did? I seriously have no idea what got him in hot water. It was some Twitter thing.
Well, that's my storyline. That's my storyline because he like it can't be because of the Twitter, because he didn't say anything really that bad. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But then again, it doesn't take much to get that treatment. Look at Sheamus. When they gave Sheamus the title, and then he was getting a push, and then all of a sudden he was losing. And the reason he was losing is because they said he was walking around like a big star backstage, and they had to bring him down. You know?
Isn't it horrible that WWE guys would walk around like stars?
Especially when, you know what I mean? It's like, he's a champion.
I mean,
you know what I mean? You want them to be stars. They have to learn how to act like stars to the fans. But before they can learn how to do that, it's like they show any signs of doing that. It's like, wait a minute, who's this dude to think he's a star?
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, they'll be taking their championship so seriously they'll get tattoos.
Well, that's
there was something in the Daily Update about his brother that recently got released. Did like a blog about his time in developmental, talking about guys on steroids or something.
Oh, okay.
Who are you talking about?
Could be bad because they'll bury you for something somebody else did. They'll bury you right here.
You're talking about his brother, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. You know what I mean? They look at John Morrison and McIntyre and the shit they've done with, had to deal with because their women got pissed them off. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it could be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God Eric Angle never said shit like that, you know, back in the day.
Oh, jeez. Forgotten that name.
Oh, and we found out that the WWE did pay for Kurt Angle's rehab.
Is that true?
Remember we talked about that. I'm pretty sure they reported that.
I hadn't read that anywhere.
Oh, I thought I did, or maybe I heard it.
Maybe you dreamt. Hey, you can multitask.
Yeah.
So, me and Contreras, while you were calling Vito, we briefly glossed over the biggest news of the week is that Jim Ross is no longer employed by the WWE.
He's fired because of Ric Flair. It's all Flair's fault. But
that's
the dumbest thing ever, dude. Seriously, I mean,
that's such a weird relationship between him and that company. I'm never, it's like perverse. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
He's just like a month ago, you know, like we're talking about, those two matches from SummerSlam. I thought to myself, the only thing that was missing from those matches was him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still trying to process. I don't understand how you could have a guy so talented and keep him off TV for so long, and then just fire him outright. Basically, I mean, they gave him the thing where he said he was going to retire, but.
He said he has no plans to retire. He said it as early as like last week or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
Yep. So I'll be interested to hear Steve Austin's podcast this weekend because he's interviewing Jim Ross. So I'm looking forward to that.
Man, can you imagine what kind of relationship that Austin's going to have with Vince from now on? Because, you know, that's kind of his boy.
I don't think Austin really gives a fuck, really, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I think
he hasn't really done anything with him for a long time. I mean, he still does stuff from time to time, but nothing, like, big.
Well, I know he has a contract with them, basically, not to work anywhere else, basically.
Oh, yeah, like, well, he wasn't going to work anywhere else anyway.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He has a contract, basically, to not go to TNA, and you know he's with WWE for life. In other words,
yeah.
But you know,
oh my
what
God.
happens when Jim Ross is sitting next to Mike Tenay? That is like the dream broadcast team.
I don't care much for Mike Tenay.
Really,
JR and Jeremy Borash.
I'm a big fan of Borash, but I'm a big fan of TNA as well.
Hey, I mean, him and TNA would be good, but it's still TNA.
Yeah,
and now you're going to have Jim Ross screaming in the southern accent through the back.
That's not going to happen. Heel, turns heel next week.
Yeah, that's true.
But I have to interrupt you and give you an update on the CMLO show. Super Porky climbed to the top rope, and then Maximo had to help balance himself so he wouldn't fall off the top rope. And then he did a splash on the three Rudos off the top rope. And I think these men are now dead.
Well, I got something better than that. I got on my screen right now, the Midnight Express just attacked Jimmy Valiant, and Ronnie Garvin and Drag had just entered the ring, and he knocked out Bobby.
Yeah, that's better.
No, it's better.
Kissing Jimmy Valiant.
It's not better because Super Porky, which is just awesome having Super Porky, he's teaming with a Glay Gladiator with a pink mohawk.
That's... I have no idea what to say about that.
Well, Jimmy Valiant is cutting a promo with a calf, with a toucan on his calf.
And you know what? You know what NWA doesn't have? They don't have these hot-ass CMLL ring girls, is like the one that's on
that's
my screen right now with this awesome ass.
That is true.
That is the best thing about CMLL is the ring girls. I mean, come on.
Well, who doesn't like a...
No, it makes me watch
hot little Latino number at ringside? Come on. Well, you officially run out of things to say because you're talking about things that are on your screen right now.
Yeah, there's a 400-pound Batman.
Y'all might find interesting that I didn't even know that this was going to be a series. Just came across on my, when I logged on my Xbox, there was a preview for it called The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Have you heard of this?
Yes, sir.
Next time.
What do you mean you just heard about this? Oh, you don't watch sports because I saw, what did I see it on? The Super Bowl. Was it the Super Bowl? This is like the first time they showed a commercial for it? Or?
I don't think it was that far back, but it was in the last couple of months. Yeah.
And this is the first I've heard. I didn't know about this, so.
You know that the star is Colson, right? Colson lives?
Yeah, he's not dead. He takes place after the Avengers.
Right.
It should be pretty cool. I'm actually very excited to see it. Hopefully it'll work.
It starts September the 24th.
That's
on
right.
ABC.
Already got it set up on my DVR.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of superheroes and comic books, next week, besides being joined by Lance Archer, who's coming to talk about G1 Climax and his time in WWE, we will also be joined by Leva Bates from Shimmer Wrestling, who has the almost awesome gimmick of she's like a, what do you call them, a cold player? And it's like every match, you know, like Rey Mysterio does a superhero for like WrestleMania?
Oh, okay.
She does something like that for every match. Yeah, role player. And like she's done...
Cosplay.
I'm sorry. I always thought it was cosplay for some reason. Cosplay. And she did some awesome gimmicks. I've seen her do. She came out wearing the mask from Saw and the little tricycle. And she does real cool shit. So besides wrestling, we can also talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and comic books with her. So that should be pretty cool.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to send me some stuff, and so I can learn a little bit.
Yeah,
so I can.
And I saw her last year at the WrestleCon Shimmer Show, and she was teaming with what's her real sister? Oh, Allison Dangerous. And they would both do like the cosplay. And for that show, they did Jay and Silent Bob, and she did Silent Bob. So she wrestled with a trench coat, a baseball cap, and a beard and mustache.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's funny.
But yeah, that's for next week. So big show next week. And
cool.
Yeah. But we got about 10 minutes to go here. Let me go ahead and drop a plug already. Everyone check out AngryMark.com. Why do you have to interrupt me? It's a little professional. Everyone check out AngryMark.com. You can always download the Streamer Show at AngryMark.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Mark Show itself and so many more. And so check out AngryMark.com. You can also download the Streamer Show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrere. And goddamn, Super Porky just did his fucking tope out of the ring. That's fucking incredible. Anyway, you can check out BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrere. And for older shows, you can check out blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo for even older shows. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or at Ed in San Antonio. So check us out. And
you can follow me on Twitter. That's where I do all my pro wrestling and also some rock and roll stuff there. All my goings on and my escapades with Brian Alvarez and Vincent Verhey. Anyway, check me out there. It's at Proper Jam, PROPERJAM. You can follow me there. And yeah, that's about it. Check it out there. Go ahead.
Speaking of Brian Alvarez, that was very mean of you to hide in the woods and scare him last night.
What's with all this Sasquatch business? That was a bit of weird shit.
Dude, you have one of those friends that's into something and you just don't get it. That's Brian.
Not really.
No.
That's contrary to his friends.
I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I don't understand it. I just do a lot of smiling and nodding. Yes, that sounds cool. Going into the woods with a bunch of dudes. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Taking a tape recorder and filming it. That's a great idea.
Well, go ahead and draw your pleasure. Because I'm very sad at the moment because Super Porky lost. They put him in a wacky submission. I can't believe he put him on. It was, like, incredible.
You can follow me on Twitter at Couture35. I was on there the other day because Gunner from TNA is on the stupid. So I had to be a smart ass. Anyway, you can go
I'm going to follow you right now, Couture.
Okay. He said something, I think he said, like, $5 wrestling is like a joke to, like, the joke of the wrestling business or something like that, and I don't know, I tweeted back, your company fired a guy that broke his neck and his mom went bankrupt paying his bills, something like that.
Yep,
this would be a deal.
Okay, well, $5
wrestling,
officially following you.
$5 wrestling, even with Coca-Cola, I just don't get it. I seen it once and I didn't think it was that great. Yeah, but
yeah.
Each and all, I guess.
I don't really get a lot of that Cole Cabana stuff. I don't know. It's just not my thing. It's fine if
on his podcast
or others, but... Do what now?
Go ahead, Greg.
He's got Sonny on his podcast this week.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. Did you see those pictures? My God almighty.
I'm going to... If he's at WrestleCon this year at WrestleMania, I'm taking one.
I've never felt so embarrassed for somebody before in my life. And I'm on the
You
know
that
she was charging people to spoon with her in the bed?
Okay.
I am paying for that, dude.
Somebody took her up on it, and it's the like the creepiest fucking picture I've ever seen. Like,
I've gotta find it.
Just go to the board, and there should be the thread will be right up there in the pro wrestling section.
Is this one of those pictures where the guy's not smart enough to be embarrassed, so you're actually embarrassed for him?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to take one of those next year if she's at WrestleCon.
And you can be that guy, Ed.
Yeah, I am.
Don't ever be that guy.
That's one of my WrestleMania goals, dude, seriously. I'm going to take a picture of
that's what makes you happy. I don't get it.
It's going to make me really happy.
You can go to youtube.com/Couture. I put up some more of them. Memphis from 1986 this week. About 4 or 5 more episodes. You can go watch that, and you can watch some Smoky Mountain from 92 and 93. Got a bunch of episodes up there. Hulk Hogan's
nice.
Rock and Wrestling cartoon show. Got that stuff up there, so everybody should go check it out.
Okay, where am I finding this picture? I can't find it anywhere.
Okay, just find the sunny thread in the pro wrestling section and just go back a few pages.
You should probably just go to the very last page in that sunny thread.
Well, that's not that one, then like one or two back. But yeah, there's actually two pictures.
But, I need to get myself in trouble with these pictures.
But we got 5 minutes left. Anything else you want to talk about?
I watched World War Z this week. It was pretty good.
I try to watch it, but my damn download, whoever fucking bootlegged this damn thing, went to the fucking 3D version.
Well,
I don't know what the fucking genius that was.
Right? Sucks your legal copy was fucked up.
Yeah.
No, my bootleg was fucked up because these idiots fucking went to the wrong. Why can't they go to the standard version?
I was going to say, you could actually pay for it.
Like I did.
I don't pay for Tom Cruise movies, so I'm sorry.
Tom Cruise?
I mean, Brad Pitt. They're all the same.
You don't pay for Brad Pitt. Why don't you? You're one of those guys that doesn't like attractive men or something?
No, I only pay for X-Men movies. For Avenger movies.
It's not a
superhero in there. I ain't paying for it.
Well, go watch Iron Man 3, because that's out. Kind of.
Hey, that was a good movie. I thought it was the best of all the Iron Man. They actually had a halfway decent villain this time.
I'm too much of a comic book fan, and it not being the real Mandarin I was excited for Ben Kingsley, like when I found out Ben Kingsley was going to be like the Mandarin, but the way it went, I mean, that was kind of cool, but the Mandarin, his powers are he has 10 rings, and you know what I mean? That's not who was on the movie, so that part of me was kind of like, what the fuck? But, I mean, it was pretty good.
It was so badass as the Mandarin in those trailers. It's really what made me want to see the movie. And it was kind of a swerve. He just comes out of the toilet and his boxers. And just some alcoholic drug addict that they could have turned into doing that. So,
yeah.
It was so good.
I just found the picture.
Do you usually go to the movies? Do y'all stay for those after the credits stuff?
Of course.
I know they're there.
My God. I mean, I was trying to get to that. First of all, at the end of the Iron Man 3 was a shitty one anyway. We're sitting there with the Hulk. You know, he's like a therapist or something. He slept through the whole story. And I can imagine sitting through those fucking credits just waiting for that stuff to die.
Yeah, I do it every time. I'm a dork. Can't help it.
I hate doing it and then there's not one.
Right. Like, I need to know what the key grip is. Just right when you start the credits, just like 5 seconds later, going to another scene.
I
have found the picture. I have found the picture. I am
appalled.
Yeah.
He's gonna be in line next to me next year.
I wouldn't broadcast that.
Is there gonna be room on the bed for? I have no words right now. I have no idea what to say about this. $75 for that.
And it's going to be worth every penny for me. I can't wait.
Yeah, try not to poke her.
I can't wait till all the girls start doing that.
You'll
get the spoon with Kelly, or you'll get the spoon with Mickey James, or, I mean...
That's different.
I don't think those women are that desperate at this point.
Not yet.
Okay, get the spoon with Ashley Massaro.
Actually,
she spooned her in the first place.
I get something.
Anyway.
I'm sorry. I'm amazed at the... this guy. What is the matter with these people?
$75. I think they feel like stop following wrestling on the internet.
Now, if Shawn Michaels did this, I'd be in.
Do what?
I'm kidding.
Well, you're being funny.
Mostly.
Speaking of that, the other day, I'm sleeping. You know, I sleep during the day, which is kind of hard to do sometimes. because I work, you know, I work at night, so, you know, people like to bug you or call you or knock on your door or whatever. So anyway, I'm sound asleep. I had a hard time falling asleep, so I haven't slept that much. And I get woken up to the sound of my phone that I'm being messaged by my sister on Facebook. And I check it, and it's Stevie J. And Stevie J, the gay porn's back. If so-and-so doing this, that, I have a friend of them, and you need to get to your computer and delete stuff. So I'm like, fuck. So I jump out of bed. I swing open my door. My mom was visiting at the time. I almost knocked her down because she was coming out of the restaurant. I sprint my fat ass to my computer, almost slip and fall. I get on there, and I click on the notification. I go straight to the photo. I untag myself, and then I look at the photo, and I see basically it's Sean from the Playgirl picture, and it's like a picture of Bret Hart's head behind Sean with his arm kind of around Sean, so it's like Bret and Sean are spooning. And I'm like, what the fuck is Stevie J making a big deal about it? So messages it back. Isn't that no gay porn? And he's all, well, it looked like Shawn Michaels butt fucking somebody. I was like, whoa, you didn't look hard enough. I'm gonna kill my poor mom because of you, Stevie J. You're anti gayness or whatever. But yeah, I was like, what the hell? It was actually a pretty funny photo too.
That's great.
Well, my life's better.
Well, I could say I know because of Stevie J is freaking out over or eats the can for her spooning.
Maybe excuse.
Yeah, you can be excused. Well, I'm sure you have a pizza. Or so. Oh, what do you have? Taco Bell. That's right.
I got another smothered burrito we got to eat. Play that for a snack.
May I be excused as well?
Sure, because I'm gonna eat some chopped brisket barbecue sandwiches here in a second.
That sounds amazing.
We'll talk to everybody next week, and hopefully we will be joined by, like I say, Lance Archer and Leva Bates. So come back next week, and we'll have a big show then.
Let's go hook him up!
Oh, hands on her, hands on her, and Katie Thor! A soft heart with the hand brush in it! Terry Buckham goes crazy! Buckham goes crazy! Watch the open eyes!
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass! Top of my wife tonight.